All right, my friends, before we get into today's sermon, let's pray together. Gracious and loving God, we pray that only your word be spoken, only your word be heard, and only your word lived. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, my friends, the miracle in today's gospel reading shows us how Jesus shares his love with us and how we're to share his love with each other. Now, the story tells us that Jesus gave to the disciples, and then they gave to the crowd. Jesus worked through his followers back then, and he works through us today. Now, this is the truth at the heart of the church. Jesus wants his love shared in this world, and he will do it through his followers. Now, if we follow Jesus, then we will speak, and then Jesus will speak and act through us. Now, as I was reflecting on this passage, I remembered of my good friend, Stu. Stu is he's an older gentleman. He's a surgeon, and he's a passionate follower of Jesus. And I met him about 10 years ago at a low point in my life. And Stu, he came alongside me, and he listened to me, and he prayed with me, and he prayed for me. And the closer I came to him, and I saw how his life revealed Christ to me, how I saw how his faith was lived out and how he cared for me and supported me. His actions made it easier for me to understand the mind and heart of Jesus that I found in the Bible. See, just as Jesus gave to the disciples, Jesus gave to Stu. And Stu gave to me. And this morning, I'm giving to you. And here's the point. If you're a follower of Jesus, he wants to give you his hope, his truth, and his love so that you can give it to others. As followers of Jesus, this is our calling, to share our faith with others. Now, I think that it's easy to be daunted and discouraged by this. I'm convinced that being asked to share your faith in Jesus is one of the most terrifying things to ask of any Christian. After all, there are aspects of our faith that we may struggle to understand or explain. In fact, preparing for this week's service, it was pointed out to me that our Old Testament reading from Genesis is actually quite problematic. You see, the main character in the Old Testament reading is Jacob, and he's one of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They are important biblical figures. In fact, in our Romans reading, we see St. Paul highlighting just how important these figures are, not only to the Jewish people, but also to us who follow Jesus. Here's what Paul says about the patriarchs, which, remember, includes Jacob. And it says, theirs, meaning the Israelites, is the adoption to sonship. Theirs, the divine glory, the covenants, the receiving of the law, the temple worship, and the promises. Theirs are the patriarchs. And from them is traced the human ancestry of the Messiah, which is Jesus, who is God over all, forever praised. Did you hear that? The patriarchs. And Jacob is one of them. He's a big deal. We heard in today's reading that he wrestled with God. And because of his trial, God honored him and grants him a new name, Israel. And it says, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. His name becomes the name of a nation chosen by God. And out of this nation is born Jesus, the Messiah, whose life, death, and resurrection proclaim God's love and hope for the whole world if we believe in him. I mean, that's what we believe as Christians. And so here we are. We want to share the hope that we found in God, you know, that we find in the whole Bible. And then we run into one of the heroes of the faith, like Jacob, and he's polygamous. Yikes. I mean, I don't know if you notice it, but it opens up with Jacob and his two wives. And that's actually kind of embarrassing. I mean, how do we explain that? And here's what I've learned. It's entirely likely that passages like this are the reason why we shy away from sharing our faith. After all, we'll say, I'm not qualified to explain why the polygamist Jacob gets to be a hero of the faith. And there's a lot of readings like that in the Bible where we run into them and we're not sure what we would say. And so we get nervous and then we don't say anything. Well, my friends, I want you to remember the words of St. Anselm of Canterbury. And he said, faith seeking understanding. That was his logo. That was kind of his mantra. Faith seeking understanding. You see, for him, we begin with our trust in Jesus. You know, we see his life in the Gospels and we trust in his life, death, and resurrection for the cleansing of our sins. And then from there, we can seek understanding and God will provide. I believe that one of the ways that God has provided us with understanding of the Old Testament, particularly today with the polygamy in the Old Testament, is actually through the work of a man named Robert Alter. And he's a Jewish scholar and an expert in ancient Jewish literature. He teaches at Berkeley, and he wrote a book called The Art of Biblical Narrative. And in that book, he says something astounding. He says that polygamy was an institution that was near universal in ancient cultures. Polygamy is where the husband has multiple wives, and it's very patriarchal. And he says, however, that when you actually read the text of Genesis, you'll see that, first of all, in every generation, polygamy wreaks havoc. In every generation, having multiple wives is an absolute disaster, socially, culturally, spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, relationally, familially, in every way. And here's his point. Robert Alter says that if you actually realize what Genesis is doing, it is subverting, not supporting. It is overturning those ancient patriarchal institutions at every spot. So to him, as a scholar of ancient Jewish writings, this is the obvious reading of our Genesis passage today. And I want you to keep in mind, I mean, he's not a Christian. He just knows how to read the text. Now, when I first came across this understanding of Genesis, I really grew to love it. And I think, I mean, I'm willing to bet that some of you have really appreciated hearing about Robert Alter's understanding of Genesis. But I want you to think about this. What if you had mistrusted the whole Bible because of today's Genesis passage and Jacob's polygamy? And because of that lack of trust, you never really shared your faith with others, all because you couldn't understand why spiritual heroes like Jacob were such paternalistic people. I mean, in other words, you might be hesitating to share the love of Jesus because you think the Bible is teaching something that it isn't teaching. I mean, what we've seen in the story of Jacob, as Robert Alter explains it to us, is that God loves us in the midst of our brokenness. He doesn't endorse our brokenness, but he doesn't shut us out either. He works with us, and his love works in us to subvert those wrong habits and beliefs for our benefit, as well as for those who know us and hear our story. And in that light, not only is Genesis now more of a joy to read, it's exciting to be able to share God's story of love, how God chooses people like Jacob, who were very broken. And Jacob's story isn't erased or it's not sanitized, but we see how God weaves his truth and love in the midst of that brokenness. He did it with Jacob, and he's done it with me. And God is doing it with you too. That is a story worth sharing. Jesus has called us to share his truth, hope, and love. How it's woven in the Bible and how it's woven in your life. And although I think it's completely understandable to be nervous because we often feel we don't know what to say, Jesus will take care of those parts that we fear. You see, Jesus doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. When Jesus tells the disciples to feed the crowd, they tell Jesus that they only have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And yet, when they're brought to him, Jesus does a miracle. So I want to encourage you to bring whatever little that you think you have, you bring it to Jesus, and you will see a miracle. You bring what you have to Jesus. You know, I mean, maybe you're a new Christian, and so you don't know much about the Bible yet to make sense of stories like Jacob, and that's okay. Or maybe you've been a Christian for a while and you still can't make sense of stories like Jacob. And I completely understand that. I get that. You know, before I became a Christian, I had tons of questions about the Bible, especially the Old Testament. And I've been a Christian for a while now, and I still have a bunch of questions. Still something worth chewing through and wrestling with. I mean, when you look at the Bible, there's a lot there for us modern people to be offended by. But I'm persuaded, and I believe that God provides. Robert Alter isn't a Christian, but his rich understanding of the Old Testament has helped me and many others understand God's love in the whole Bible. If you bring your little faith that seeks understanding, even if it's small, that's you bringing your loaves and fishes, and we'll see that God will provide. With the story of Jacob, I'm persuaded that God has provided us with the work of Robert Alter and many others. My friends, Jesus calls us to the nerve-wracking task of sharing our faith in him. And it's not just for clergy or for other professional Christians. This is for every follower of Jesus. But he doesn't demand that we be as skilled as a St. Paul or as a Billy Graham. Jesus says, come to me as you are, however ill-equipped. Bring to me what you have, however little, and I will use it greatly in my service. Jesus doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. And that's you, and that's me. We may only have a little, but I want you to remember, little is always much in the hands of Jesus. My friends, let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we come to you with all our concerns and questions and doubts about how you revealed yourself in the Bible. Many of us will have faith in you, but we feel nervous about sharing that with others. It just seems a little too complex, maybe a little too much, overbearing or heavy-handed, because there are parts in the Bible that are difficult. And God, there are some of us that are really new to the faith, and we don't know where to begin. But as we acknowledge how we're feeling, God, we thank you that you're a God that provides. You're a God that does miracles. And even when we bring you the little that we have, you will use it to great effect for your glory. So God, I pray that you use each and every one of us to share the love that we have, that you've given us, and share that with others. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.